Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato. He is in Detroit. I am still back in Oklahoma City after the Thunder's 114-107 win over the Pistons. Joe, we've seen a bit of a slump here, a two-game skid. I guess that's not really, that's barely qualifying for a skid, but Thunder started this road trip at least right in the wins column.
Yeah, and like a very much needed win. I mean, we talked about it after the Clippers game. You know, when you play the Bucks and the Clippers, the best thing you can do is then turn around and play the Pistons and start to feel better about yourself. And that's like, that's pretty much how this one played out, especially in the first half. Everything was coming easy for the Thunder. Really, everything came easy the whole night offensively. There wasn't always good defense, but then it was like classic Thunder pulling one out in the clutch. And I mean, it just kind of followed a similar narrative that we've seen.
To be completely honest, even in the first half, Thunder's shooting lights out. They're shooting 60% from the field, from three. Which one?
Maybe they're, both. I mean, they finished the season high. They shot 61.3%. That's the best of the season, which is kind of incredible considering how close it got.
Yeah, no, and that I kept scratching my head because it's like we have not. I mean, granted, the Thunder was playing two top five defenses for the last two games, but shot terribly in Milwaukee, improved against the Clippers, but then tonight shot lights out. I mean, so it was a remarkable turnaround, and then you look up and you're like, wow, this is still a really close game.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was talking to Eric, and it was just like, how is this? I think it was late in the second quarter. The Pistons had cut it to like 4 points. I'm like, the Thunder's shooting almost 70%. They're making everything. Like, Chris Paul was perfect from the floor. Dennis Schroeder, I don't think, had missed at that time. And like, Shea had only missed one or two shots. And you know, those three point guards combined were 15 of 18 at halftime.
Right.
And it's like, how is this still a game? And I guess the answer is the Thunder weren't playing great defense. And the Pistons, I mean, credit to them. It's a completely depleted roster. Nothing at all like they thought they were going to be when they started the season, when they had all-stars like Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin and even a guy like Reggie Jackson. I mean, they're either gone or injured. And, you know, this team still fought really hard, and they were shooting well, and that kept them in it.
Yeah, so at the half, the Thunder's shooting 69% from the field, 57% from three, has scored 20 points off of turnovers. And even though, I mean, you're right, the Pistons shot well. They're 56% from the floor, 50% from three. But you're like, it's kind of hard to explain why it was such a close game even after that first half. And then the Pistons showed what they can do from three to make a comeback starting in the end of the third and then, you know, pulling it off in the fourth and actually regaining the lead for the first time since the first quarter.
Yeah, I mean, the Pistons made 18 threes tonight. They attempted 43 of them. So that was their key to getting back into this game. And none of them were bigger than the one that Svi Mykhailiuk hit with just over 4 minutes left. It put the Pistons ahead by 1 point. And, you know, earlier in that fourth quarter, the Thunder led by 14. They had led by as many as 16. It looked like it was over. I'm, you know, eyes glued to my computer trying to write my game story, and then everything changes, and I'm like, how did this happen?
Like, and, no, delete.
Yeah, so that was kind of crazy. But like, when he made that three, Billy calls timeout. The crowd is going crazy, but coming after that timeout, the Thunder outscored the Pistons 12-4, and really the biggest shot during that stretch was Danilo Gallinari, his three-pointer that put the Thunder ahead by four with 22 seconds left. So it was incredible offense by the Pistons early in that fourth quarter, and then the Thunder started to lock them down a little bit and made some clutch shots of their own.
Yeah, you mentioned that three. I mean, it's you're giving him a corner three. The Pistons have already gone on a nice little run because of their three-point shooting, and it's like as he's shooting that ball, you're just like, how did the Thunder let this happen? Like, yeah. Again, but I mean, like, they're good in the clutch. I think Chris Paul after the game was like, I think we've had more clutch games than anyone. Pretty sure that's accurate.
I assume that's still the case. It pretty much has been all season. But yeah, it's like all those clutch 41. Time stories we did earlier this they've had, the most still.
They've had 41. I don't know if this has updated after tonight, but at least right now at 10:48 p.m., NBA stats says that the Thunder has had 41 clutch games. Next closest is the Sixers at 37 and the Spurs at 37.
Jeez. So, I mean, if they don't play another clutch game for the rest of the season, which they surely will, but if they didn't, that would still be half of their games.
It's insane.
41. So it's, yeah, I mean, they're going to play over half their games decided in clutch time. And they've been good in those games. They were bad to begin with, but Chris Paul is right. They've definitely learned a lot because they have more experience than anyone else in those close games.
So let's back up a little bit and get to how they got to the point that they did, where the Pistons did need a comeback to be able to push us into clutch time. The three guards, three Thunder point guards, played a ridiculously balanced game for that first half. And you wrote about some of that and how impressive they were.
Yeah, really, in the first half, it was the three of them. And then in the second half, you know, Dennis Schroeder slowed down a bit. Chris Paul really did. Chris Paul had some pretty bad turnovers, even though he was efficient from the floor. But Shea, I mean, Shea had his most efficient night of his career. He was 12 of 15, and just was so crafty in getting to the paint. He had a couple really tough finishes in the mid-range. He had the floater working. He had the scoop shot. He started the game with a three, really created it out of nothing, just stepped into it. So I thought Shea looked is about as good offensively as he has all season, and the numbers certainly say so.
Absolutely. And like I said, there was a bit of a drop off from a defensive standpoint between Clippers and Bucks to the Pistons, and they took advantage of that, especially getting to the rim and really driving the lane, and Shea probably did that better than anyone.
Yeah, the Pistons just really didn't have good answers to stop those guards. Like, Brandon Knight's a journeyman. He's bounced around. He's really been injured. You know, Langston Galloway. They just don't have very good guards. And I think that's why we saw Chris Paul, Shea, and Dennis Schroeder attack them and get into the paint. Like, a lot of the work that OKC did in the paint was because of the guards.
Yeah, and then ended up turning that into a real advantage. I keep doing this. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I will in a second. They also had guys on the opposite end. They had guys like Nerlens Noel, both helping out with rim protection, and he and everyone else had a million steals.
Yeah, I mean, I probably didn't touch on that as much as I should have, like the points off turnovers and how the Thunder was able to capitalize off that. But that was really big, because to counterbalance that, obviously not the same equivalent, but the Pistons really beat up the Thunder with second chance points. The Thunder only had two offensive rebounds. The Pistons had nine. A lot of those were in the first half. But that, I think that was one of the main reasons the Pistons were able to stay in it. When you're looking at the stat sheet and you're like, well, this doesn't even compute, but a lot of it was that offensive rebounds. And Billy Donovan said after the game that at halftime they even showed film of a couple of situations of like what the Thunder were doing to allow these offensive rebounds. Like a few of them came off free throws, which was very surprising. It's like how are the Pistons rebounding their own missed free throws? So they got that cleaned up, and that was big for the second half.
Right. Like you said, it was really more about limiting the Pistons' offensive rebounds as opposed to getting more Thunder offensive rebounds. Because when you're shooting as well as they did, there just aren't as many.
you can't rebound chances. Your own makes.
Right, so. Right. So that was down for good reasons for the Thunder. But points in the paint, Thunder outscored the Pistons 58-40. And then second chance points, Pistons outscored the Thunder 16-2. And then you look at I mentioned the Thunder's 20 points off turnovers in the first half. They ended up finishing the game with 26, but that really flipped in the second half where, obviously if they're only scoring 6 points off turnovers, they've slowed down. And then the Pistons were able to really jump out and take advantage of some Thunder turnovers, especially when they started going on that run. And so that was a huge momentum swing. And he just said, if the Thunder had just taken care of the ball a little better, we might not have gotten to clutch time.
Yeah. And just looking at the final box, it's like interesting because again, the Thunder shot their best percentage of the season. Like Nerlens Noel, he was 4 of 5. Steven Adams was also 4 of 5. And in that first Detroit matchup, it was like Steven Adams went at Thon Maker every single time. And the Thunder were just like able to dominate in the post. But today was kind of weird because they were having so much offensive success from everywhere. Like I kind of thought, like, why aren't they attacking more like in the paint with the bigs rather than the guards? But it was just a game where like everything was working offensively. And again, like I'm still trying to struggle to. Yeah. And it's like, I'm still wondering how the Pistons stayed in this game, but one reason was Christian Wood. He was like fantastic tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. He finished with a game high 29 points, which was his career high, maybe?
Or close to it. He had the same line as Shea. They were both 12 of 15. Christian Wood, too small of a sample, but veering dangerously close to like Thunder killer label. He had 27 against the Thunder last time and 29 against them tonight.
Yeah, no, definitely. He, between him and then what was crazy was that Jordan McRae, apparently he said in postgame, he got off the plane, headed to the arena, had like 5 minutes and then warmed up and played a game. Like, this is just a wild, and he played well. He had 15 points. He did have two pretty costly turnovers that Danilo Gallinari took advantage of, but what a weird experience.
Yeah, if I was covering the Pistons, I think you've got to write about Jordan McRae after this game. Like, I mean, Christian Wood was fantastic again, but like that story. So like, I think it was Woj who first reported it, that it looked like Jordan McRae was going to be picked up off waivers by the Suns. But the Pistons were higher up in the order that they got first dibs basically. And then we're talking to Dwayne Casey before the game and someone asked him like, can you confirm that Jordan McRae is going to be a Piston? And he was like, yeah. And also, he's available tonight. and it's like someone asked a follow-up because it was so unbelievable. It's like, what? He's not only here, but he's going to suit up and play and then play really well. But I guess it's sort of symbolic of where the Pistons are right now, that they're like looking for any help they can get. But yeah, I mean, he was legit good tonight.
Yeah, because that never happens. Like, usually you ask, like, hey, can you confirm it? And they're like, we can't confirm anything until like, don't comment on this. Like, no, no, no. I'm sure that's what everyone was expecting. Instead, it's like, yep, he's here.
Yeah, here's this for a curveball. But yeah, you know, that was nuts. That's, I don't know, it'll probably fly a little under the radar because it's Detroit, but that's one of the more wild like performances given the circumstances that I've seen this season, I think.
Yeah.
Like, how does he even know? I mean, surely he doesn't know the offense. He's just out there playing basketball and like with these guys that he probably just met, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So the Pistons set out their post-game quotes, and on their quote sheet, they have a question about A, how he feels coming off of his first game with the Pistons. He said, right now I'm a little tired, and went into that whole pregame nonsense, and then was asked if it felt natural with the rest of the team, and he said, it's just basketball at the end of the day. All the guys did a great job at helping me with all the plays that I didn't know. I knew some of them, but big shout out to all of them for helping me out. Like, that's a very cliche answer, but like,
I'm not sure he's like
he's acknowledging,
accurately describing how difficult that must have been.
Right, just like, oh, thanks guys for helping me out with these plays. And like, yes, it's basketball. They've all played basketball for their whole lives, basically. There are some things that just translate, and then you see like similar play calls across the NBA. Like, that stuff helps. But you also, I mean, we went through months of asking Markieff Morris about easing in and fit and this, that, and the other when the Thunder signed him last year mid-season. And that's all very understandable that it would take some time to fit in with a group and figure out exactly what your place is. And so, I mean, who knows? Maybe next game he'll struggle or whatever. Maybe this is just like a one-time thing. But like, to come in straight off the plane and just look like a part of the team, like there were no... I mentioned the two turnovers, but there weren't any glaring parts where you're like, oh, he looks lost.
No, I mean, just to, I know this is not close to being the same situation, but I still marvel at what Lu Dort's been able to do as far as like not practicing with the Thunder and still playing this well now.
Thank goodness you brought up Lu Dort, because this would not have been a real Thunder Buddies podcast without.
I don't know what else to say about him tonight, but
we're 19 minutes in, and we still haven't mentioned Lu Dort.
Yeah, we have to meet our quota, but like it's it's impressive what he's done. I know he's played a big chunk of games now, and he's not in that same situation, but if that's impressive, then hey, check out what Jordan McRae did. So yeah, that was a fun story. A lot of crazy things happening.
Yeah. Well, Thunder got this one. Next they head to New York. So we're easing into this road trip, and then you get Boston at the end, which, you know, might not be a great parting gift home. We'll see.
No, that's going to be a tough one. Quick question. Did you make the Detroit trip last year?
No. So Eric loves Detroit. Now that they have the new arena, he loves the arena. If anyone who follows Eric Horn probably noticed that he posted a picture pregame talking about how great the arena is. He claimed that trip.
Okay, well, it was my first time, and so I loved it, too. So I
might never get to go.
No. I loved it so much that I think that everyone has to take part in this.
I heard the media meal's great, too.
Yeah, the media meal was very good, and they... have hot and ready pizza for you also, since it's Little Caesars Arena. And
I did not put two and two together.
Yeah, no, there's like legit Little Caesars pizza in the media dining with like cheese bread and stuff like that, but also like real food that's also good.
It's always nice to have a fallback though.
Yeah, it's good to have a fallback. There's, you know, soft serve ice cream. I know no one cares about this, but it was very nice. But the arena itself, beautiful. Like, I got to go to the Chase Center in San Francisco earlier this year, and that obviously gets more acclaim. I think it cost quite a bit more. It's on better real estate in San Francisco.
A little bit.
But as far as like being in the arena, like the Little Caesars Arena is just as nice as the Chase Center, and they have just like awesome light displays and like a huge jumbotron, and you know, not very many fans enjoying the Pistons right now, but like if the Pistons got good,
but the ones who are there
the ones who are there get a great fan experience is all I'm trying to say.
I wish I could add more. I haven't been to San Francisco either. Not that I've had many other opportunities since it's brand new, but I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you and the smattering of Pistons fans who were at the game. And I can't wait to swap you games next year so that I can experience it.
Hopefully we can keep traveling. So that was a cool thing as far as like just for you guys listening. I know we said we weren't traveling anymore, but now
we're
traveling
back.
A few games. So hopefully we can provide some better coverage because of it.
I'm a little mad at myself because I knew how much Eric loved Detroit. And then I set our travel schedule, like you're in my travel schedule at the beginning of the year. And even on that, like things have changed a little bit since we didn't travel in January, but even on that original schedule, I didn't put myself on this game. I don't know what I was thinking. And you were like, oh yeah, no, whatever, like whichever games you want. You're very nice about it, and I messed up.
You messed up. There's always next year.
I've learned from my mistakes. Yeah, every season's a learning opportunity.
The Eastern Conference trips are tough because you only have like one chance, so
it's true.
You know,
limited
opportunities.
Very, very true. All right. Anything else on this game?
I do not believe so, but I am excited to walk into Madison Square Garden and the dysfunction of the Knicks. And hopefully I'll see something wild.
The arena's awesome. The dysfunction is...
The dysfunction is also something. Awesome.
It's news.
So yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Sorry, Knicks fans.
Yeah.
The basketball is something.
But yeah, it'll be great. It really is good for the Thunder that this road trip is set up this way, because like Boston could maybe leave a sour taste in your mouth if that was the first game. But
imagine if they did Bucks, Clippers, Celtics.
Oh gosh. Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but that would be tough. But yeah, so it'll be a fun road trip, and stay tuned for whatever day that's gonna be. Friday, I guess. Friday. Yeah.
Yep. All right, cool. We'll wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into this edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it. Love it. Subscribe. Share it with your friends, your family, your neighbors, your pets. Tell all the Knicks fans that you know to listen to it on Friday, and we'll, you know, at least be less dysfunctional than their team leadership from the top. Not to offend brand new president. I hear great things. But we will see you on Friday after the Knicks game.